I think of how good he is to us, how wonderful he is. His mercies are new every day. And thrills my heart to be a Christian. It makes you to know that if there's anything good in one's life, it's Jesus. And if he accomplishes anything during his lifetime, it's Jesus. And we have to remember that even though God will forgive our sins, the thing that troubles me if I'm error or make a mistake in that God has not given us the spirit of error. If I happen to err or make a mistake, the thing that troubles me is not as to whether God will forgive me. I know he will forgive me. He loves me. And what mother or dad that really loves their child, but what they wouldn't forgive him if he made a mistake. So I know that he will forgive me. But the thing that disturbs me is that I am that much less perfected in my ways toward God. I'm not that much less perfected so far as the perfection of God, in that God gives us the perfection. See, he gives us the perfection. So, see, it isn't that I'm afraid he won't forgive me. And it isn't that I am that much less perfect in his sight, in that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. But I am less perfected, or that much less perfected, as to my submission, my conformity, my mind, my spirit, my life, as to perfecting my ways before God and going on to perfection, that I might be used of God, that I might go on to a full reward, or the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. That means I am that much less used as to my ability to utilize his power, his supremacy in my life, or to have faith. I then have a breach in my faith. Though I be forgiven, yet I still have a breach in my faith. The little things that you do spoil your minds. And the Bible said the little foxes, the little things that we don't pay much attention to, they spoil the vines and you don't bring forth the fruit for God. And so then you get in as if the fire, or you get in as if one that didn't do much for God. And I don't want to go before God like that. I know I've got to the extent of my mistakes and errors like everybody. But I don't want to do that. I want to be fully used of God. I want to go on to a full extent, a full reward. And I want to be fully used for God. I want God to fully utilize me in his kingdom and in his way of life. So I'm not happy when I make a mistake or I stumble. I'm not happy, though I know immediately he's forgiven me. Even before I call, he's already answered. He's already given me grace. He's already perfected me to where that doesn't even show up on the chart, so far as my salvation or his feelings toward me or his love. But the problem is it shows up in me, that in my confidence, whereas John said, when we do the things that please God, then hereby we assure our heart, then do we have the confidence toward God in whatsoever we ask of God. We know that God heareth us, and when we know that God heareth us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of God. So the little foxes has spoiled the vine. Now we can throw it out and we can say, well, you know, it's not going to bother me. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm just going on full blast. You know, you can do that. You can do that. You can throw it aside and say, bless God, he loves me. He's perfected me forever, and I'm going on. And so you can run out like Samson. You can shake yourself, but there ain't nothing there. And the locks are gone, and the strength is gone, and the enemy begins to bind you. And you find out, as it was when they said to Moses, they said, we're going into Canaan. Moses said, you better not. And I told you to go in, and you wouldn't go in because of your unbelief as to feeling that God was able to conquer the giant, and said, now you better not go in because he's done changed his mind as to the extent of your evil, and he isn't going to protect you, and if you go up there, you're going to be in trouble. And so they went, and they were in trouble. Oh, they were smitten of their enemy. I pray, oh God, don't send me up to battle, lest your presence go before me. So you can run out like they did and run out like Samson did, and you can shake yourself and say, I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to go on. But you find out that when your faith is gone, the goods are gone. And it's just according to your faith, as Jesus said, so be it unto you. And according to your thinking, in your head, you can deceive yourself and you can tell yourself all kind of things. But the heart, You can't make that heart believe. It just won't do it. You've got to assure that heart. It's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. The Bible said, who can know it? And you've got to get the thing in line. You've got to get the devil out of there. And then your heart will be sweet and kind and holy and faithful, and it won't be deceitful at all. For out of the heart, Jesus said, when you don't have the Holy Spirit in there, out of the heart comes forth the evil thoughts of adultery, fornication and lying and theft and blasphemy and all these kind of things. He said, these defile a man. And the Bible said, you're the temples of God, and the man that defileth that temple, him shall God destroy. So I don't like to make mistakes. I just don't like to make mistakes. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't make mistakes. No, I don't stumble, for I do, but I don't like to. I don't like to make mistakes. I don't like to think one thought that's wrong, not one thought. I don't like to do one thing that's wrong. I don't like to allow for anything that is wrong, not one tiny little reflex. I say this so often, I want the intents of my heart to be perfect with God. I want the reflex of my body and my mind to be perfect with God. I want to cast down every thought that comes to my mind outside of Jesus to bring into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, every thought as to righteousness in His way. I don't care to have thoughts as for the materialistic values of the world. Though I build buildings and I do all these things, I do it for God. And I don't care to have my thoughts occupied with how to make a dollar or how to build a building or do anything else or how to sell or how to buy or how to do anything. Not at all. Anything in the home, anything out of the home, anything with my family, I don't want to do not one thing, think one thought to the benefit of self or to the flesh or to that. Anything I do, if I was someone that was going to try to make money, I would have one thing on my mind. It's labor that I might have to give. I would have it on my mind to go get something for the Lord Jesus. Or to build a building, to build a Lord unto the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, all things that you do, do it as unto the Lord. And if I can't do that with all loyalty, with all godliness, and that it is required of us to be faithful, then I don't want to bother with it at all. I don't want any part of it whatsoever. And I'm not going to have any part of it. I don't want to lust with my eyes. The Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all of these conglomerations that, as Paul said, so easily besets us to keep us from running with patience the race that's set before us as to Christ. I don't want those things. I don't want those things. Now, I enter into differences and disputes with people all the time. That's common for a preacher. But I enter into these things, and someone would say, this isn't wrong. Prove it to me. Show me that it's wrong. Show it to me in the Bible. And I have to sincerely confess, you know, as to whatever degree it might be, it isn't wrong. But I'm like Paul. All things are lawful for me. All things. There's nothing unclean of itself. Only to him that esteemeth the thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So all of those things, I don't have any problem with them. But the thing is, all things don't edify. All things are not expedient. All things are not for me to the extent that they don't expedite the cause of God. And this is the thing that I'm interested in. I'm not wanting to be with the crowd, or with the church, or with the religious body that's always nitpicking, as we use the terms, to try to figure that this isn't wrong and that isn't wrong, and I can get by with this, and I can add this, and I can have this, and I can pile up this for the flesh over here, or I can make provisions for the flesh. This isn't wrong. I don't want to be with that crowd. You know, that's all right. And I trust to God that they'll make it in. I trust that they can weed the thing out to where they can work it out, you know. But I don't want to be with that crowd. I'm not interested in that crowd. I cut loose from that crowd years ago. I thought it all over. I prayed. I read my Bible. I found out the truth. I cut loose from that crowd because they're vexing to me to see how close they can walk with the world and how many things they can incorporate into their lifestyle and still hold on to God. Not doing what God really wants them to do, as to be about the Father's business, but still holding on to God, maybe getting in as if a fire, all of their works burn, in that the things that they do in stumbling and staggering and adding, that it's not profitable to God and it all perishes. Though it be natural things, whereas Paul said, I've sown unto you spiritual, so I not to be carnal things reap. If others be partakers, am I not the more? And could not I have a wife? Could not I lead about a wife or have a home? I have all the other things. Whereas the Bible said, if you're called having a wife, and I was, then don't seek to be loose. If you're called not having a wife, don't even seek a wife. So it says to the young woman that she should retain her virtues in life and that she should give herself to God, is not to have a husband unless she be called with a husband. And that the married woman careth for the things of her husband, how she may please her husband. The single woman careth for the things of God, how that she might please God. And that the man and the woman can be holy in body and in spirit. But nevertheless, if you marry, you've not sinned. If you marry, you have trouble in the flesh, God will spare you. And it doesn't take away from your righteousness. Abraham had a wife, and yet he was the father of the faithful. Moses had a wife, and yet he was the meekest man in all the earth and faithful in all of his house. But I'm just speaking of the things as to have you without care, without concern, so that you can be more diligently given to God. So my wife and I, we have an agreement as to this extent, that I'm going to do what God says, whether she likes it or don't like it. And she is in agreement with God that whether I like it or don't like it, she's going to do what God says. And so we're going to put God first and do God's things, and then we're going to put wife and husband second, and that's going to be it. And so we get along real good. We don't have any problem out of it. Has Abraham to lay your child on the altar or to lay down things for God is the right way, even your own son. God gave his own son. Abraham gave his own son as to get him out of his heart, as to give him to God for sacrifice. But I want to stay with this just for a moment here, and then we're going to read. I don't want to be with the crowd that's trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong and what they can add to their life. I don't want to be with that crowd. If they want to do that, I say again, that's fine. But I don't have any time for that crowd. Let them do what they will. There's a lot of things that they can do. A lot of things. But at the same time, they don't receive a full reward either. The Bible said, go on to a full reward. Like people working on a job, they can work a little bit and make a living. They can squeeze by, as we say. They can make it. But the man that puts in 5 days at 10 hours a day, he's the man that's going to bring the good paycheck home. And he and his little wife and children are the ones that's going to enjoy it on the weekend. The other can lounge around, go fishing and hunting and work a day and just enough to get some cornbread and peas and whatever, as we say. And the little wife, she can adjust to that, and the children can adjust to it. And they can run around in rags and holes in their shoes and whatever, you know. So I said, well, I don't think that's bad. I used to do it. I know I used to do it too. Didn't think nothing about it. But then was days when you couldn't get it, because my dad was a hard worker. He worked, he tried to bring it home, and so did Mom. He worked for 30 or 40 cent, 25 cent an hour. But see, we're living in a day when Daddy can bring it home if he ain't lazy, and Mom can take care of it if she's thrifty. So, I don't want to run around in rags. I don't want to just nibble, pick up the crumbs when God gives me the whole loaf. Now, I'm like this, as he said to the woman, the dog. She said, well, I'll eat of the crumbs. And that's the way I am. You know, I'm willing to eat of the crumbs. The Gentiles are the dogs. I'm willing to eat of the crumbs. But he doesn't want that. He said, when you pray to me, I'm not going to give you a stone. I'm not going to give you a serpent. He said, but I will abundantly bless you with life filled up and overflowing. And I'll make you rich and add no sorrow. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. So I'm not worried about the world. He's going to take care of all that. I'm going to have all that. But I'm speaking of the spiritual wealth. I want the spiritual wealth. I want the spiritual wealth. All of my natural wealth is given to my spiritual children and to the people that are natural that needs help, as we share with them, to my natural family, anybody that's willing to take part in it. And I don't count that my treasure. My treasure is God. I have God on the inside of my heart. He is my heart's desire. And the Bible said God will give you the heart's desire. And he's given me my heart's desire, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So I have my heart's desire. I want Jesus and I want abundance of Jesus. I want to be filled up and overflowing. And the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't want to make one mistake. I don't want to make one bobble. I don't want to think one thought wrong. I don't want to have one reflect wrong. I'm jealous over my thoughts, as I say so often, with a jealousy, a godly jealousy, that I don't want the devil to have one of my thoughts, not one of my thoughts. So I fall into the problems and into the snares and stumble and stagger like you do. But in him I'm complete. No shortage. But nevertheless, as I say, I'm not concerned as to my perfectness in him. That's eternally and forever. But I am concerned as not what affects him, but as to what affects me, to where I can't get to him, because he's taken care of all things that affect him. Even though it is to my good as to perfection and as to his sorrow when I stumble, because he is a high priest that's touched by the feeling of my infirmities. And when I come short, then it is grievous to him. But it does not affect my righteousness in him. So it affects me as to my confidence in him. And it affects him as to his grief, because I am falling short of that which he wants me to have. Because he wants me to be filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runneth over. So you think that over, and the songwriter said, come a little closer to the Lord. If you want to be used of the Lord, come a little closer. A lot of people complain. They say, well, I just don't understand why God won't use me. Well, that's the reason. That's the reason right there. Is you're so prone to want to find out all that you can add and how little that you have to do to serve God. And that's why you're in the condition you're in. He that sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. But the other man that's looking for the way to give up all he can as pertaining to the flesh and gain all that he can as pertaining to the spirit, the Bible says he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So then that's where you are, and that's your problem, so don't blame it on anybody else. Let's read from chapter 10, the book of St. Luke. I want to say again, I'm glad to have you here. Think these things over, and when I tell you these visions, don't try to put it on somebody else. Remember, it's you. You say, what do you mean, you? Well, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. We all are shortcoming, and it's you to the extent that whosoever applies it to himself, that's the guilty party, will know then that he needs to straighten out. And if he tries to apply it to somebody else, then that makes him the guilty party, whereas he might not have been guilty in the vision. He's guilty. Because the Bible said, esteem others better than yourself, and you're esteeming him wrong in violation of the Holy Scripture and of faith. And you're seeking your own rather than somebody else's, and you're looking on somebody else's things the wrong way. So any way you look at it, it's wrong for you. The best thing to do is realize that you are the one, and that way the one that's to blame in the vision will know, and he'll understand, because he knows what he's doing. And if you realize that it's you that's guilty, as to being guilty, you'll come a little closer to the Lord, because you're shortcoming. I can tell you, I'm your preacher, and I can tell you you're shortcoming. You need to move up. Somebody would say, well, who then do you mean needs to move up? Every one of you, including me. You need to move up. All of you need to move up. So you're guilty, and you need to do a whole lot better than you're doing. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, we're going to read from the book of St. Luke, chapter 10. Beginning down at the first verse, it said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now see, Jesus advertised his coming. Always he advertised his coming. He didn't just go into a place as a rule without letting them know that he was coming. Or as the Bible says, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that the house may be filled. So he always sent them before his face, and they advertised his coming and the greatness of his power. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Some of you that went with us on certain occasions as to the Holy Land, you went down to the Sea of Galilee. And there at the Sea of Galilee, you can find these cities. It speaks of Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre, Sidon, and then it speaks of Capernaum. And it more or less projects Capernaum to the extent thou art exalted to heaven and shall be cast down to hell. But you saw these cities, they were right around there, and you saw them, and you see how that the Lord felt concerning these cities, that it was worse with them as to the judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says after that, that the Lord, he sent out 70. He sent out 70, he chose 70, and he sent out 70. And he gave these 70 power over unclean spirits, that they should cast out devils. Now Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Without respect to person, he said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, then ye shall receive power. And ye shall be witnesses for me, first at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So then he says here, he said, the 70 returned rejoicing, saying, Master, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. And he said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. So then I rejoice not because spirits are subject unto me, but I rejoice over the fact that I am a child of God. I pass from death unto life, and my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, already written down in the Lamb's book of life. And Paul speaks of it saying, and my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So then Jesus substantiates that as to saying those who have their names written down in the Lamb's book of life. So I rejoice, give glory unto God for writing my name down in the Lamb's book of life. Before the world ever was, the Bible said this was given to me in Christ. And it wasn't recognized or brought to light until Calvary as to the rent veil. But when Calvary came, the veil was rent in twain. And then this glory of God as to all things began to show. And we've been tutored with it down through the church ages. I say all these things over again to you that I might print them indelibly upon your mind that you might remember these things. So the fullness of time came at Calvary. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, and he gathered all things in heaven and earth into Christ, the great ark of Noah. And then the great deluge came, and from that time over, God has destroyed continually. It has not been made manifest as of yet, because the eyes of the wicked are blinded and they cannot see, but we can see it. He destroyed them from Calvary over, living in trespasses and sin, they're dead while they live. And he said, and I'm angry with the wicked every day. And I'm going to pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For their prayers, though they be ever so religious, their prayers are abomination in my sight. And their offerings are abomination in my sight. And all their religious activities are abomination in my sight, because they stand at the door and they do not go in as to really repent, convert, to live for God. They stand at the door and they won't go in, and all the others that see them in their hypocrisy won't attempt to go in because they can't get past them. It is a wall of resistance as to them that would find the good. So we see that God knows exactly what he's doing. He don't make mistakes. So the 70, they rejoiced. I rejoice because I have eternal life. I thank God for eternal life. And I'm thankful because devils are subject unto me. How much of the power of the enemy do I have power over? All of the powers of the enemy. Even death. Death. I've conquered death through Jesus. And I pass from death unto life because I have all power over the powers of the enemy, because the Bible emphatically states that greater is he, Christ, my hope of glory. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, which is Satan, the one that has been cast out, the one that savors the things that be of the flesh. When God went into my heart, he cast Lucifer out. He isn't in my heart anymore. Out of my heart won't come forth evil thoughts of adultery and blasphemy and all these ugly things. They cannot come forth from my heart. Someone would say, Brother Pike, the Bible said from the heart these things come forth, and they come forth from your heart and my heart and everybody's heart. No. The Bible said these are the things that defile a man. If they come forth from your heart, then are you defiled. My heart is a fountain of God, and the waters inside are the waters of life. And out of the wells of water, I draw water by the joy that God has given to me. The rivers of living water flowing out, and the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God, whose water spout ye are. Then these wonderful things answer to that. For the Bible said, the things of God knoweth no man. That is healing, deliverance, discernment, power. These things are not going to come to your spirit. The Bible said, and these things of God knoweth no man, no man but God's spirit. They know God's spirit. They know no man's spirit. They won't come to any man's spirit. But when you're born again, God's spirit's on the inside. All of these things come to you. All of these things to give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Because all of these things God put in Christ. And now you have Christ in you. And Jesus said, Father, you in me and I in them, to make them perfect, even as we're perfect. ought to make them one, which is perfection, even as we are one. So, we see then that we have power. Power to the extent the Bible says that he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil ones toucheth him not. Never at any time from the time of your new birth does Satan ever touch you. And before your new birth, he never has touched you. Because you was in God before the world ever was, he chose you in Christ before the world ever was, and the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and he wrote your name down in the Lamb's book of life, and he concluded you over here as to be in ignorance and would not charge anything against you in all of your stumbling and staggerings, in that in Adam all die, Eve being the mother of all living, as to the natural living, knowing that we could not help it, he did not charge one thing against us in our past life, not one thing. And if you go back there to think on those things, or to look at those things, or to consider those things, you are dirty and ragged and filthy. To let one thought from the past come in. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind. A lot of people like to reminisce over their childhood, and they like to go back to those things back there as to yesteryear, and they want to go back there and consider those things. But a real, true child of God cannot do that without it being like a dart or a dagger that goes through the heart because of the dirty, filthy past. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you've got to kill that. You've got to bury that individual. You can't look back into Egypt. You can't look back into your homeland that's cut off, that's gone forever. And you've got to put a block right there as to that man being dead and tomb him and go on with Christ as to the inner man. To live holy, to be godly, to be pure, and to never look back. Never at any time. And the Bible said that we are not even to speak of those things that are done in secret. These things that people do in secret, you're not to discuss them. You're not to even name them once among you as becometh saints. You're to think upon that that is virtue. You're to let your conversation be in heaven and to be holy. And you're to talk about God things and think about God things. And all of this foolishness and gesturing and joking, the Bible said it is not convenient. You should never do that. That a man or woman that is in line for wisdom should never do those things, never at any time. Not to give place to the devil, no, not for a minute. It's to gossip, to backbite, to laugh, to jester, to mock, to do your own thing, or to make any kind of provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire or the lust thereof. When you find yourself thinking on your home and thinking on your clothes and thinking on money and thinking on food and thinking on these things, you're automatically in error right there. For the Bible said, take no thought for these things. No thought for these things. No thought. You're not to make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire of. And the Bible said, take no thought for the flesh as to fulfill the desire thereof. For the Bible said, consider the birds of the air. Consider the little sparrows. Consider the lilies of the field. How that God watches over them and God clothes them. And God feeds these little birds. And God takes care of them. And are ye not of more value, a lot more value than sparrows or birds? If God cares for those things, will he not provide for you? Can't you just see the big whale in the ocean saying, I better take some thought here of provision, and I better look around and swim around and see what I can find so I'll have something to eat tomorrow? He doesn't do that. Did you know the lion doesn't do that? The lion doesn't do that. The lion wakes up and roars because he's hungry, and he starts out that day expecting to be fed, and he finds his prey. And this is what we should do, even in the wilderness. God told him, said, don't try to hold this bread over. Or don't try to make provisions. I want to lead you day by day. I want to feed you day by day. I want you to keep your eyes on me. I'm your sufficiency. I'm your source. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the writer said. And he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Quit trying to work little deals as to what you're going to have tomorrow. Or whether you're going to make a little money tomorrow. Whatever you're going to do. Stop that. You just go forth in faith. Ask God to help you day by day, and take it one step at a time, and trust God every day, and everything will be well with you. And the Bible said, seek the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. For the Bible said, if you confess your sins, forsake your sins, whatever that man does shall prosper. If you believe my prophets, he said, and ye shall prosper. So then we should go forth day by day, because you don't know whether there's going to be a tomorrow anyway. You don't know. See, it might just be today. So you may not need nothing for tomorrow. And as Solomon said, to heap it together, who knows but what you're going to leave it to a fool. So you should trust God every day. Every day. But you know what happens? We get under condemnation. We do the things we ought not to. We drift too far from the shore. Like the song said, drifting too far from the shore. We get too far out from God, and we know that that faith isn't going to register, and we start manipulating, and we start trying to engineer something, and our ingenuity gets into a perverted condition, and we place value on the wrong thing. We esteem the wrong thing. Or we improperly evaluate, and we find out that the things that we should have given priority, we don't give priority, such as going after God, seeking God's righteousness, and doing the things of God. We fail to do that. And we give priority to the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the things that thrill the flesh or that causes the flesh to be stimulated. Whether it be passion, whether it be sports, whether it be food, whether it be raiment, whatever it might be. See, this is why that I take the outlook that I do. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Don't you be afraid. You've got power over all of the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This will happen all around you. He said, but it'll never come nigh your dwelling. Why is it that it can't come nigh my dwelling? Because I am one of them that dwell in heaven, and the devil's been cast out of heaven. So it doesn't come nigh my dwelling. I keep myself by the power of God, that the evil one toucheth me not. So then I am perfected forever, because if he touched me one time, I would not be perfected forever. But God made it so that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, and he has sealed my spirit unto the day of the change of my body. The redemption of my body and my flesh profiteth nothing, and my flesh has nothing to do with my righteousness. Even though I'm trying to subdue it, even though I'm trying to change it, even though I'm trying to turn it around, even though I'm wanting to get it perfectly in harmony with God and to save myself, as we said, from this generation. I want to save myself from this underworld generation. God has saved my soul, but I want to save my body from the perversion and the misuse that Satan would cause me to do those things. Someone said, well, if you're a Christian, you're not going to do them. A child in his maturity, as he grows up from his being a little baby, he does many things he ought not to do, even to burning his finger. See, because he doesn't know. God's grace has taken care of it, because God won't charge it to him, because the little one doesn't know. And it's the same way with you. As you grow up, you don't know. Jesus said, feed my lamb, and he takes care of you, but you're blundering all the time. And that's what mom and dad's for. That's what the parents of the church is for. That's what the preacher is for, is to tell you that you need to do better, that you've grown a little older, and there's some things you need to lay aside and some things that you need to do that you haven't done, and some things you need to leave off with that you have done. See, and you think you're doing your best, because that's the way God saves you, is when you do all you know to do. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not as a sin. But until you come to know that, it is not a sin. That's how the Jews get by now, without God literally destroying them. See, and they're blinded in part. So that little one growing up is blinded in part. But every time you come to a new knowledge, every time the preacher tells you something, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you don't go around saying, well, I don't think this is wrong and I don't think that's wrong. Things that you might have been doing with your little playmates, you don't do them anymore. Some little playmates that you've been taking up time with, you break off with them. You leave them alone, because evil communications corrupt good manners, and you begin to do the right thing. See, so we're growing up to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and we're going on and on and on to a full reward, going on to perfection. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you're already perfect, how can you go on to perfection? Or somebody would say, you say that you're going on to perfection with one word, and here you are telling me that you're already perfect with another word. Well, it's just like this. In my spirit, I am perfected forever. I am perfected forever. You would say, well, what about your body? In the sight of God, I'm perfected forever. Now, so God has taken the life of the body, which is the spirit, and sealed it to where that life can never be contaminated, just like preserves and sealing preserves. See, it can never be contaminated. Never. See, things can buzz all around that little jar, and spots can get on that little jar. Ants can crawl over that little jar. Everything can mess up that little jar. It can be dirty and dusty, but you stick it under the fountain of the hot water, wash it off, and then you break that seal, and those things on the inside are perfect. See, they've been sealed to a perfection. My interman, by the great Holy Spirit, I say again, as that safeguard that we put within the fabric, it keeps the stains out of my soul. But as to the outside, what am I doing? I am trying to perfect this man because he's born of Adam. I'm trying to perfect him. I'm trying to go on to bring Christ. Someone would say, you mean you're taking this body of the bastard image and you're trying to make it perfect? No, that of the bastard image is dead, and it's not him living anymore. It is Christ living now. I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm the new birth now. And what I'm trying to do is take this inner Christ on the inside. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, and being potentially God's as to the ultimatum of the change, Thessalonian change, as to the outer man. So then I on the inside am breaking forth from glory to glory, as this light that broke forth in Moses' face and in Jesus' face on the mountain and in Stephen's face. Wisdom makes a man's face to shine, or that is the word of God, which is spirit and truth, is that light most precious. The transformating light to my mind, the translating light to my spirit, and the transfigurating light to my body. So that I'm releasing this on the inside as I grow and my mind matures, then my little body responds just like any child's little body. And it responds more as I know more. And as I grow up, finally I grow up into manhood. So I'm trying to make manifest in this mortal body Christ. Paul said, I thank God who hath chosen me from my mother's womb that he might manifest his son within me. Within me, Christ within you, the hope of glory. And I'm trying to bring him out and submit this outer man to him. So what am I doing? I'm saving myself from this underward generation and this bodily. Outwardly, the bodily man is submitting and submitting. He's going on to Christ, who is the perfection. He's going on to that inner man, which is perfection. He's submitting as the inner man subdues on to perfection. The babe within the womb is being formed unto perfection. All the little one that's crawling and learning to walk is being formed unto a perfect stature of a full-sized man or a woman. So then I am going on to perfection. I'm taking this body from the ruins as to what has happened to it through the expulsion of the garden. I'm picking it up out of the dust and I'm moving on to that perfect thing. I sit up ahead and I'm moving on towards it. So I am perfecting, I'm perfecting as I move on toward perfection. That perfection which is him. He's the perfect one. That is to say, I believe in what he said. He is perfect. He hath perfected me forever because he's become one with my inner man. So this outer man, I am subduing him until he comes in harmony with the inner man, even Christ, the second man from heaven, which is my perfection. So I'm moving on. I'm submitting. And I am not trying to figure out if I can get by with this, get by with that, or if I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. I'm not trying to do that. I want to read God's word and what God's word says. I want to place faith in it because whatever God's word says is sufficient for me. It has everything in there that I need to do to be perfect and to be upright. And all that I need to do, it tells me of. And all I don't need to do, it tells me of. So then that's my joy. That's the abundance of glory and joy for me. I'm moving on toward that perfection. Satan has been cast out. Look at a little present day truth. Going over to the Holy Land, 7 times we've gone over there. May even go back in there this time, I don't know. But we've been over there 7 different times. Then we spoke of that having to do with the walls crumbling down. And strangely enough, that which relates to the Jewish, to the type having to do with the black man, here Abernathy gets upset because they've tried to bum his car, they've tried to kill him, do all kind of things. He writes a book, and the book, it says, and the walls came tumbling down. For he said, Martin Luther King is not what you thought he was. Though he respects him, he said, I love him, all these kind of things. But said he had some things in his life like Jim Baker. And we see these things of the great celebrities in Washington, on TV, or as Martin Luther King, or Jim Baker, or whoever it is. And we see Satan falling. This is Satan falling, being cast out. Though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And Capernaum, though thou be exalted to the heavens, from thence thou shalt be cast down to hell. So as to Apollo, putting it among the stars, making the little nest among the stars. Apollo has to do with the devil. You can read it in Revelation. That is to the carnal mind. And God said, thou climbest up to heaven as a generation. The old serpent, he's climbed up into the upper lintel. He's in religious places. He's in places of politics. He's in all kinds of places, like in the days of Vesta. There was that wicked Haman that had climbed up and gotten into the upper echelon that was in the offices of dignitaries and would have killed the royal seed, but God protected it. So then he's climbed up into the upper lintel, the worm, God called it. As to the natural birth, the old serpent, the wicked, crooked generation of vipers in their intellectual mind of devilism that's come through Eve. Through her weakness and taken control of the Adam of God. See, Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels. He's gotten into the heart. He's gotten into the mind. He's gotten into the natural out there that's typical of that. And he's having his way. And he's working his own thing. And he's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that this thing belongs to him, that he's God of this world, that he has control. But the Bible says that he'll be cast out. And here Jesus said, I cast him out. When did this happen? At Calvary. At Calvary. We brought out a little of it the other night. We don't have time to bring it out now. When is it made manifest? Whenever you grasp it. Whenever you understand it. Whenever you come to it. Someone would say, well, I think it's made manifest back there, Brother Pike, at Calvary. So it was as to them that was alive. But was you alive? Had you been born into the world? Was it made manifest to you? No more than what God had given you by foreknowledge through predestination in the beginning of the world, because you wasn't alive back there, you wasn't born back there, as to be made manifest as a human being. So then why was it brought to light at Calvary? Because here's the generations that start moving into it. And the law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached, the kingdom has been here. And Jesus said, know that the kingdom is nigh unto you. It's come nigh unto you. You know, because of the right confession. So then we see that we are free from death. We are free from poverty. We are free from sin. We do have power over Satan, and Satan is no longer within us, and we should not let him reign in our mortal body, no, not for a minute, to give place to him, no, not for a minute. But we should draw nigh to God, be filled with the Spirit, use our shield of faith, and quench all the fire darts of the wicked, or resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. And then we can walk upright, we can be healthy, we can be whole, we can do what God wants us to do. We can go into all the world and take these glad tidings of great joy and be fully utilized as to our natural abilities for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be holy in body and in spirit. And Paul said, I'd love to present you body, soul, and spirit to God. Holy in these things. All right, so we're the victor. We have all kinds of problems, and the Bible said we're killed all the day long, a Canada sheep for the slaughter. But in these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ that gave himself for us. And he delivers us, and he never suffers us to be tempted above that that we're able. But with every temptation, he makes a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. So we see this wonderful thing in Christ Jesus. I always rejoice over it at night or over in the morning when I'm praying. I just rejoice. Sometimes I just have a hallelujah time. Like the song we sing, Living on the Hallelujah Side. And I read the Bible and I'm so stimulated because I believe in it. I've got faith in it. And it empowers me with that virtue to be filled with that spirit. And to be filled with the power of God. The vision I had the other night where these people were wasting the water. I believe the Lord was trying to show me that, as the Bible speaks, are people that are misusing the days of grace, are misusing the abundance of the Spirit that's poured out on the just and the unjust, the rain upon the tare and the wheat, that they are misusing this, just as the Bible teaches that. I believe that's what God was showing me about these men. They are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Oh, that is, they're using this time period of grace to do their evils and to lust after the flesh and to do their own things. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They are using the days of grace when they ought to be using these things to get right with God and to be born again or to be utilizing their abilities for God or perfecting their ways in God. But see, that is a waste as to what I saw in the vision the other night. And a lot of you are squandering your goods and you're doing away with it. So we see God has done such a marvelous thing for us. The rain is being poured out right now, but it's about to be stopped. So we see as a present day truth going over to Israel. I come back. I said, this has to do with Joshua, the crossing of the Jordan. And sure enough, we're going down to Jordan. See, the crossing of the Jordan. And I said, and this is the walls falling. And Abernathy, he writes this article, "The Walls Came Tumbling Down." And they say that it's really causing a stir. As a matter of fact, they say this book is outstanding, that it reveals the things that was done wrong and the intentions as to the motives and whatever. When he and Martin Luther King came together to start this move of God, and he doesn't pull any punches, as we say. He just brings it down the line like it is from what I hear and says that Martin Luther is not straight. And this, of course, has caused a riffraff and a division between the black and the white. And the black that are followers of Martin Luther King is rising up, and the followers of Abernathy are rising up. And they're having war on television and everywhere. So it is a split, it is a division. And God is shaking and God is sifting. Everywhere in the world this is happening between people because it is showing the war in heaven. And Abernathy said, I'm tired of these things as to the black leaders becoming rich. He said they have become rich off of this thing that Martin Luther King has done. And said they don't care for the poor and they become rich. And said they're sitting up there with the riches and said this thing needs to be taken back out into the streets to the poor as to what it was intended for when Martin Luther and I set this thing up to take it forth. And said it needs to be taken back to the poor. Whereas some people are standing 100% with him and some are standing 100% against him. But nevertheless, it shows one thing. The walls are falling. And the walls came tumbling down. I told you that Brother David and I sang that as we started down to Jericho. And the Lord said to Joshua, go march 7 times around. And Joshua obeyed the Lord's command and the walls came tumbling down. Without respect to person, God is hitting people like Jim Baker, Martin Luther King. He's hitting people all over the world, regardless to respect to person. You read about Japan, and he hits that great leader that caused a lot of problems, and down he came. And you read in China of that great leader that was so wretched, and God hit him, and he came tumbling down. And the wretched place out in San Francisco, a wicked place. I've read about the sodomy of that place, the evil of that place. And God hit that place and it came tumbling down. And so it has been over and over. And so it's going to continue. Earthquakes is going to bring them down. Now somebody said, well, I don't agree with you. Doesn't bother me. All of the children of God does. You're just the child of the devil. Jesus said, the will of your father you'll do because you are the child of the devil. And said, Satan sowed you as the tare and God sowed the wheat. And your harvest is going to be that old ugly temper or jealousy or gullibleness of passions or money or desire or the love of the world or temper or resentment or whatever. That's what you are. You can't do anything else. If the leopard can change his spot and the Ethiopian can change his skin, the Bible said, then they that are accustomed to do evil can do good. But in that you cannot even see when good comes, then that means that you, as Jesus said, are of your father the devil. But those that love God will be with God. And wherever I am, there shall my disciple be also. Not as to come as to a religious group to gather in church or to talk about the Lord, but in their heart, their spirit, their desire, they'll be 100% with their leader, which is Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand. Which is the Word of God. All right. So every man goes his way to his own thing, unless the house of God lay waste. But we see in this present day truth, all of a sudden, God is bringing these things down. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What is Satan? It's that old carnal mind of gullible desire and passions and riches and preeminence and glamour and prestige and all these kind of things. That's that mind of Lucifer that got into the body of Eve. That same mind that was in Judas when Jesus said, "You are a devil." Or Peter when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That mind that's in you hath made you what you are. You are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, or you are partakers of the nature of Lucifer. And if you are the partakers of the nature of Lucifer, you're going to become a freak. You're going to become an evil thing. Even your countenance will be warped. Your understanding will be warped. Your outlook on things will be warped. You'll be a respected person, and you'll be after the gullible, dirty things of the world. And you'll go after them. Doesn't matter what the preacher tells you, you'll always go after them. If you have the mind of Lucifer. But if you have the mind of God, you're going to be holy, you're going to be clean, you're going to be about your Father's business. Whether you're in the upper echelon as Esther was, or wherever you are, you're going to be the right kind of person. Whether on a job or in a business, whatever as to the societies of life, that's what you're going to be. So then God makes it real plain. As to the child, you can tell him by his doings. Whatever he does, that's his nature. Because the nature is what causes the conformity as to the image. And whatever the nature is, well, that's what it's going to be. All right, so then we see as to the present day truth. We'll say this again, as to the present day truth. We see that the fig tree is putting forth its leaves. And the Bible said, when you see this, you know that summer's nigh. And we see that the walls are tumbling down, that the news medias have hit churches, they have hit social activities, they have hit schools, colleges, they've hit sports, they have hit the dignitaries in Washington as to political powers. They have not failed across the world to strike them. And even Gorbachev, I just read a little article concerning him. He's really striking at the papers. He said, "I think the news medias have gone too far, and they're saying things that's just causing a dissension," which I agree with Gorbachev that some of them is nothing more than less than a snake in the grass. And I think our president should have been a little more bold, and our senators to stop their ugly, dirty mouth from blasting and tearing down. But nevertheless, God has suffered that to go right on through much of this, that he might bring to light everything that's filthy. See, because the Bible says there's nothing done in the dark that won't be brought to the light. And what you hear in the ear, shout it on the housetop. And the thing is, God isn't going to let anything good spoil anyway. It'll just make it shine the more. The more you buff it, if it's a diamond, the more fire you'll get out of it when the heat comes down. So then we see that it isn't going to hurt us. They attacked at us here. They couldn't find anything. God took care of us. He always will take care of us because he loves us. Oh, somebody says someday. No, brother, God bless your heart. I told you to get in line. It ain't going to be someday. It's going to be just like it was the first day. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. So whether you be of the devil, it shows. When Jesus was preaching and them things jumped up in his service, and you might not jump up in body, but your thoughts jump up. And I see those thoughts in the Bible. Said Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. It isn't going to change, and you're not going to change until you get born again. When you get born again, then as the song says, you'll come a little closer to the Lord. All right, so we see this thing, children of God, and we see the stars of heaven falling. These are the stars of heaven. We preached to you about this. These stars are falling. These are great stars, glamour, whatever, like Billy Graham. They just have give Billy a star. I believe it's the 1900th star. When we was in London, I was reading this in the paper while Betty and I was waiting for the plane. And I believe it's the 1900th star along the Walk of Stars. Where along this walk in California, they put a star for the stars. And here Billy appears. Billy, the biggest star of them all, showing that his star appeared in the heavens. That's a symbol of heaven out there where the stars are. We spoke years ago, told my wife, I said, Hollywood in California will fall. I said, it'll fall. It'll be torn to pieces. It'll come down because the Bible says the stars of heaven fail. And everything, typically speaking as to Revelation, must come down. It must come down. So, Brother Taylor sings that song, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. So the walls are falling, and they're going to fall more and more. And all of a sudden, this thing about finding the ark, and all of a sudden, this thing about the papacy of Rome not having the crown anymore, and all of a sudden, this thing about the Pope or Rome giving the candlestick or the menorah or the table of shewbread or both back to Israel. All of a sudden, they get it back. Why? Because the days of the light of the Gentiles, it's over. It's over. That's the end of it. It's over. Everything is closing out now. People are getting scared. See, people are getting scared. Like last night, was it? Yesterday evening until the night. We went on into some of the night. One of the pilots of Kenny Rogers was over here wanting to go to work for us. Said that he wanted to go to work for us, wanted to be numbered with us, and wanted to do something for God. He wanted to get away from that. He said that he's already told him over there that he thought he had another place and he'd be leaving him. Whereas I don't know whether he's got another place tonight, you know. So we'll have to pray about it and find out about that. But nevertheless, it's the same way with Jerry Falwell's pilot that wanted to come work for us. I'm saying this, that the stars are falling. Why not esteem Kenny? He's a great actor. All these things. They're gone 15 days on a tour at one time. Worth millions and millions of dollars. But see, there's no interest. The interest is dwindling because they realize that the stars are falling. So Billy, he shows the big star. See, he's a religious man. But he has fellowshipped the movie actress, the actors. He has been in political affairs continually. He's been in the upper echelon. He is a star, a celebrity. So he finds himself with the stars. And I believe they say he's preached in about 85 different countries maybe, and maybe to 100 million people or more. And that's great. You know, that's wonderful. That's outstanding. And somebody, it comes to my mind that somebody, David Paul, had a vision or dream night before last that Billy Graham come down here and was trying to get me to tell him something or explain something or my advice on something. Said he'd come here, which that's a couple of visions. It's been like that. But the thing is, people that are looking off, they're out there in that place and they're looking back in this direction. You don't know about it, but they're looking. Like Brother Roberts when they wrote and asked for our literature here. They're looking. I saw Oral in a vision. And he was standing looking at this work, trying his best to get to it. See, and then they send and they want all of our literature. All of our literature. Everything you print. See, they want it. They're looking. People are looking in this direction. But the thing is, we're looking in that direction. Look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. We sing that little song. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs, the prophets foretold. See, and we sing that little song. The redemption is near. The redemption is near. Satan is cast out. Now we are comprehending it. That's the good part. We are comprehending it. Did you know it's no good to anybody that can't comprehend it? Comprehending the heights, depth, width, length. The Bible said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We're comprehending. But the others cannot comprehend it because they don't have power of comprehension. But we do. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, the way you say things, the way you do things, you know, I just don't believe it. Does this matter? This just isn't going to the little congregation here. This goes all out on tape. This goes all out to people all over the world. Even through the printed pages, it's taken off. I mean, Sister Betty, Sister Marcy, and others take it off. It goes to the world. What difference does it make whether you believe it or not? See, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. I'm not interested in arguing and fussing with you. I told you I don't have any time for those kind of people that set themselves off as to a secular sort of a thing. I'm not even interested. I'm not even looking in their direction. So you that are here with that kind of mind, you're not part of me nor part of God or part of anything else. See, and there's hundreds and millions of people waiting out yonder to grab this. Just like in Africa when I said, do you believe it? Wave your hands. And thousands of hands begin to wave back at me. They're waiting and longing for a word from God. How you that love the Lord, then I speak to you. I speak to all of you, Jesus said. But as to some of you, it's judgment unto condemnation. But as to the few, that Jesus said was the little flock that I have even here at Bethlehem, I speak to you as those that are my children, my followers that do what I ask you to do. And I know whether or not you're my followers. Jesus said, if you're my sheep, you'll do what I ask you to do. And you'll follow my word. You'll honor my word. The rest of you, I have nothing to do with you. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost one of these that you give me. Only the son of perdition in that came under our midst as a devil to begin with, said, and he went to his place. So you that are Judases, to the extent that you're going to eat, drink, buy, sell, ride, visit your relatives, go to all kinds of things, like I heard of one of our chief leaders here. He goes regular. Sister Winnie, the two sisters here, the Floyds, they left that to come to this. But I find out that one of our chief leaders here goes regular to that which they left. And not only that, but takes part in the drawings when it comes to money. Not only that, but the man and his family is being booked to rock and roll with them. Not only here, but when they go back to their hometown. Be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says your sins will find you out. And it is a fact. It is a fact that Moses said that to them in Deuteronomy. Be sure if you don't do what God tells you to do when you go into Canaan, your sins will find you out. As a matter of fact, some of them come and told me that the Floyds were slipping around going back and just wasn't letting me know it. But when I checked with the Floyds, Sister Winnie said, or Sister Winford said, absolutely not. So we've been offered multiplied hundreds of dollars to come and sing one song, and said, we won't do it. Said, but my daddy says that he really respects Bethlehem. He thinks this is great, but said he don't understand a man and some of the others as of the family coming and want to take part with him when his family won't do it. Said he don't understand that. Well, God bless the man to that extent, because I don't understand it either. All right. So you can go your way, you can do your evil, and you can be part of the world because you are a bastard child, and you are the image of Satan. And that image you're going to make manifest as to the love of the flesh, and that he loves the things that be of this world. Now, I don't see anything wrong if you go to a place to where they're actually going to sing for God and worship God. I don't see anything wrong with that. If it was 100 singings a week, if you could get there. But folks, I'm telling you, it's wrong when you go to these joking, clowning, joker sort of a things, and rock and roll, and move your bodies about with the singing. And they said that's one thing of the trait of the family that's going to be booked. Said they're bad about moving their bodies and weaving. That's that old snake, mind, which means the serpent. And that means it's of the devil, and it means that the man has led them into the flames of hell, because that's where they're at. They that live are dead while they live, if they're in trespasses and sin, and that's trespasses against God's word, and that's sinned, and that means they're dead while they're living in the lust of the flesh, burned in their own lust for the hunger and thirst of those things. All right, somebody say hallelujah. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you're too hard, you're too straight. Why? Why? Why are you getting upset? Because you're guilty? If you're not guilty, how could you get upset? You'd say, praise God for our preacher, and let's preach it. Let's go on with this good old thing, talking about the Lord. But if you are guilty as Judas, what are you going to do? Go out and hang yourself. The old saying, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. And that's what I've been doing. I've been seeing these things in the life of different ones. But I've just been giving you a little rope to make sure you had enough rope to hang yourself. Let's everybody stand together. Don't you know the Lord knew that Judas was a devil? But there had to be somebody that betrayed him. And this is the hour of the betrayal. I just got through telling you that I saw in a vision the betrayal. It's the hour of the betrayal. The stars are falling from heaven, which means people that are in religion, even little Bethlehem, they're falling from their place. They're falling from heaven. People all over the world, they're falling. Dignitaries, religious people, whatever, they're falling. You know, I think about that little Humpty Dumpty thing. You remember the little thing when you was a little kid, you read Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall? How he had his fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put the devil together again. I'm talking about the devil falling. Isn't that right? They can't piece him together anymore. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right. So we love the Lord. And we're trying to do our little bit for God, and may God richly bless, and love and help every one of you that's not trying to slip around and do evil. Remember the visions where I saw him slipping around. I saw him in the vision, slipping around, wanting to do the things of the world. All right, we're going to sing a song together. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Sing with me now. I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. The altars are open. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping. Though the world been long, but together we can stay. Well, I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. And when you reach, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we praise the Lord and shout down the other side. If you'll move over just find you that helping hand. Though the way is rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, if you can, sing it with me now. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Though the road is rough and long, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look ahead, cause there's a mountain top. When you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, we'll shout down the others. One more time. I'll lend you that helping hand. Though the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, if you sing it with me now. If I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look up ahead. I can see the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other. Give him a wave offering while we sing. If you'll move over a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way is rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just, I really know what you're going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you one more time together. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Although the way rough and long, but together we can stand. Well, I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. Sing it now. If I help you carry the load, then you won't have to stop. Just lift up your head, look, for I can see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. Can you give him a hand? They sing that little chorus, Wasted Years, Sister Dale. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how fooled. As you wander along in sin and tears, turn around Turn around, God is calling, for He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you stumble on in sin and tears. Turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from your life of wasted years. Wasted years. How many years have I wasted? How many years have you wasted? I was telling somebody the other day, I've tried so many years, and I really tried hard and sincerely. But still, when I look and I see the great things that others have accomplished, I just cry. I can't help but cry. And I think, oh my God, Lord, I could have done that, but I didn't do it. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't submit enough. I wasn't conformative enough. I wasn't submissive. I didn't surrender enough. I surrender, Lord, I surrender all. All to Thee, Lord, I surrender all. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I would hear my mother call at set of sun. Can you sing that with me? Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Come home, come home. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home. It's supper time. We're going home at last. Let's sing this little chorus together. Tell me his name again. Can you sing that with me? And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest
that I
ever heard. For it banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Can you sing that with me now? So tell me his name once again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Say more time. So tell me his name. Sing me that sweet refrain of him who came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Let's give the Lord another hand. Can you tell me his name again? While we sing this little chorus together, lift your hands up and close your eyes. We're going to find a place to close. I'll go with him through the garden.
I'll go with him through the garden. And I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. For where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way.
You know what? You that are singers and musicians, you that have talents, when you go and use your voice to entertain the world and to make money at the expense of your soul, once you lift up your voice to let those things come out of your mouth, whether they be religious or otherwise, and those things come out to the worldly evil way as to the flesh, as to moving your bodies by the inspiration of Satan, as to the quickening of the flesh. When you do those things, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. The Bible said any man having put his hands to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. They came out of Egypt, but the Bible said they turned back into Egypt in their hearts. See, and the thing is, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Because the parents want to get back to it. They left it, but it's still in their heart. So they try to bring their children up in it. And when they do those things, they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Just to look back in your mind, in your thoughts, in your desire toward the things of the world and the things of the flesh, to even desire a place among them, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You might as well to go on and do whatever you want to do anyway, because God isn't going to use you. Just the fact that you have those kind of thoughts means you're defiled. That is to desire. Even to look on something and lust after it, that's wrong, the Bible said. The lust of the eyes, especially the eyes of understanding, is to desire a thing, just to desire it. You love the Lord, you're missing everything. You won't go with Him through the garden as to self-denial. You don't do that. The prestige, the pride, being somebody, have somebody make a fuss over you, that's what you're looking for. That's Satan. That's Satan wanting to use your body, and you've given it to him through the mind of Lucifer. But you know, when I think about that, I think about this song. I'll go with Him through the garden. And then I think about another song. It's called How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. You know, I think about missing the wonderful things of God. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. We read of that place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Can you sing with me? How beautiful. Wouldn't you like to sing for the angels? Wouldn't you like to sing for God? Wouldn't you like to sing for people throughout all ages? From everlasting to everlasting. And from as before, as the beginning of time, all the way down, the millions that will get up out of the graves that serve God. Wouldn't you like to sing for them while the rest of them that rocked and rolled here that praised you are in hell? How beautiful heaven. But you trade it off. You do away with all of it for a morsel of bread. And for the lust of the flesh. We read of that place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. And then we just got to sing this. I don't want no God. You know, I think about that song and I think about the many hundreds and millions of people that are running after the gold and silver and the fame of the world. And then I wonder about my own flock here at Bethlehem as to the mind that you've got inside of you. That mind that you've got on the inside of you that's leading you to destruction. I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for me, God.
dodge everything so you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the worldly things. I'll take my life to serve my Savior. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. So we don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes. I'm not looking for the gold and silver. Judas went after 30 pieces of silver. When he would have been a king, an eternal king throughout the endless ages. He traded the throne, the respect of God, his integrity, everything to put nails in the hands of an innocent child. Jesus was as innocent as a child. To place a crown of thorns upon a little baby's head as to the innocence. And to cut the back of a man that was so precious, so tender. He was like a little babe in the mother's arms. He had never done a wrong in all of his life. Never. But he suffered for you and I. Judas threw it away for a few pieces of silver. Folks, we don't need no silver and gold. God will bless us. God will help us. You don't need knowledge. You don't need to run after knowledge and the things of the world. Don't be foolish. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. They said to Jesus, how does this man know letters never having learned? They didn't have colleges through the wilderness. They didn't have hospitals and physicians, but the Bible says not any of them, as to their feet, not any of them had feet swelling. They never went lacking for any good thing. For the Bible said, he that walks upright before God shall lack no good thing. I'll make him to ride upon the high places of the earth. Give him his heart's desire, if he'll delight himself in me. You've got everything, folks, everything. Don't let the devil talk to you to get you to go with lap vomit with the dogs and wallow in the mire with the swine. If daddy tells you that, you look at him and say, oh, how wretched you are, oh man, that would lead me to death and sorrow as to the pleasures and the things of this world. How wretched you are. And if mother does that, say, you are a wretched woman, not fit to have the title of mother. And you go on with Jesus. For the elders died in the wilderness. They wandered around. But God reached down and found the youth, picked them up. And the Ancient of Days gently put his arms around them and took them to be with him. He did it over the Jordan. He's done it down through the years. He'll continue to do it. That which is tender, when the branch is yet tender. We wrote the song, when the branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. One thing that we should do, folks, and that is, the Bible said that we should submit our spirits to God, conform unto the Lord, having our fruits unto holiness. Without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you follow after holiness and you have your fruits unto holiness, and that the Holy Spirit brings that living water through your members to produce the fruits of life that others might enjoy them. You have your fruits unto holiness, that is, your deeds become holy. Gradually they change to holiness. And then the end thereof, the Bible says eternal life. Eternal life. While you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up, we're going to sing this little chorus together in closing. Sing it over again with me now.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain and give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away so we will praise Him.
You're giving your body to the devil. The body is the Lord's. You defile it, God will destroy it with disease, with wreck, with death. You give your body to the devil in motions, in prancing around this world, in putting up your faith, your hair, your clothing, money, prestige. Woe unto them that are these in Zion, and your mind is not brought into subjection to the Lord. You give your body to the devil.
I will praise Him.
You use it up for the devil. The devil, the evil spirits, the parasites get into your body and they actually use it up for that old carnal mind of yours that's concerned about carnal things in this world, that's enmity to God, not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can they. So then they that are in that carnal mind, as to the flesh, cannot please God.
It's washed away.
We want to sing it one more time.
So I will praise Him.
While we're singing this together.
I will praise Him.
We'll praise the Lord. For sinners slain, to give Him glory,
I'm
going to ask Brother Jerry Faison to come up here if he will to dismiss us. Don't you believe that? I believe He took away every stain from me.
So I will praise Him.
Sing it with me now.
I will praise Him.
Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Let's give Him glory, all ye people.
Has washed away every stain.
Just one more time, Sister Dale. Lift your hands up and close your eyes now.
Ah.